probably an issue. If somebody's got to be watching for you to worship God, there's an issue there in your heart. You need to get that taken care of. But true, sincere worship, when you approach God in holiness and sincerity, isn't it so much more powerful when we do that together? David comes out of the cave, Brother Hubbard, and he tells him what he's going to do. But then in verse number 3 of Psalm 34, he says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Amen. Thank you all for helping me do that tonight. I don't want to fail to lift him up. He's worthy, isn't he? He's absolutely worthy of a whole lot more than I'm able to give, a whole lot more than we're able to give, but I love to make an effort. What about you? Praise the Lord. Turn to the book of John. Let's go to chapter number 5 of the book of John. Thank you all for being here tonight. And what a service last night. Good start to revival, huh? And we're still just getting started, but let's have another good one, okay? John chapter 5. Thank you all again for having me. Go to verse number 7. I was out at my cousin, his name's Russell Cheek. He pastors a church out south of Oklahoma City. I was out there the weekend before last. And he read from this same scripture, at least part of what he read was from this scripture. And we'll go here again later. I'm going to jump around a little bit here tonight. I don't always, my favorite way to preach is to just pick one passage and preach my way through that passage. And I think that's a very effective way to preach. I think it is very beneficial for the preacher and for the congregation a lot of the time. But this is more of what you might call a topical message. And I want to pull some verses together tonight that you might not always connect. But I told somebody here a while back, I'm beginning to learn. And I'm only just beginning to learn, Pastor. But I am beginning to learn that usually if you think something in this Bible is connected, it probably is. You just have to be careful what you decide those connections mean. And I want to handle the Word of God right tonight. Rightly divide it, if you will. Amen? That's in here. It instructs us how to do it. And I want to do it tonight. John chapter 5, verse number 7. When you have it, can you say amen? Heard my cousin preach from this verse, and this thought just kind of fell into me, and it developed a little bit more over this past weekend, and I would like to deliver it to you all here tonight. Amen. John 5 and 7, the Bible says, "The impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.'" Now, I read the whole verse. It's what's up there. It's what you're looking at here. But really, my text tonight and where this thought comes from is really just the first part of that verse. "The impotent man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man.'" I have no man. I don't have anybody to help me. There's something that I need somebody to do, and I don't have anybody to do it. What a sad thing that he has to say. "Sir, I have no man." And just for a few minutes here tonight, I'll try not to keep you too long. I want to preach to you about the man. Would that be okay? "Sir, I have no man. I have no man." I want to go, I know we're in the New Testament. I want to, and you listen, you don't have to follow me. I'm going to tell you where these stories are at. The first one I'm going to start in is in Job chapter number 9. Let me read to you a few verses here. Has anybody, just real quick, has anybody ever suffered even half as much as Job has here tonight? Just wave at me. I don't see any hands. I'm waving mine for effect, but I'm not raising my hand to that, okay? All right, you've got the book of Job here. Absolutely everything has been taken from him. And what I'm going to read to you here tonight, he is saying these things from a distraught place, a place of despair. And that's the place that he finds himself in for most of this book. Thank God for how the story ends, but we're not there yet in the story, and things are not yet getting better for Job. Here's what he says in chapter number 9, verse number 28, if you're following along. He says, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. He feels pretty helpless, doesn't he? He's explaining to anybody that will listen, I can't do this on my own. I am not able to do the things that need to be done. And all of my labor, all of my effort, it is all in vain. It is all for nothing. And it will all be to no avail. Verse number 32, talking about God, Job says, for he is not a man as I am. I'm going to try real hard not to get too far ahead of myself here tonight, but it'd be easy to right there, Brother Hubbard. For he is not a man as I am that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. He wants to talk to God, and you've got to hand it to Job, as bad as it gets in this book. He's got one goal in mind, whether he's angry or happy or sad or frustrated or lifted up or downcast. He says, if I can just get to God, then this will all make sense. Amen. If I could just talk to him about it, I'm sure even if he won't explain everything to me, I'm sure it would be better if I could just get to him. You ever feel like that? If I could just get to him. Amen. He says, God isn't a man that I can just go and talk to him. That's what he says in this verse. He's not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. I know he didn't have a phone, okay? But I can't just call him up on the phone and say, hey, I don't understand what's going on, but I think you probably do. Could you just come over here and talk to me about it? Hey, listen, there's a problem that I cannot solve, but I have a feeling that you can solve it. Do you think you'd be able to help me? He says we can't come together like that. Verse number 33. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. The daysman, also known as the mediator, also known as the umpire. I might come back to that term a little bit later, but he explains what a daysman is here, Pastor. He says, I don't have a man who can put a hand on God and put a hand on me, because there's a separation right now. I'm trying to talk to him, and if he's saying anything to me, I'm sure not hearing it. Amen? You're going to find him later. He says, I go forward. He is not there. He says, I go backward on my left hand, on my right hand. I cannot find him. I cannot behold him. I'm sure that he's working, but I just can't see him anywhere. Job says, I don't have a man. I don't have a man who is able to provide the connection that I need. Oh my, what a state to be in as much trouble as Job is in. He says, I don't have a man who is able to help me. Praise the Lord. Y'all know where I'm going with this yet? Let's go to Psalm 142. I want to go to verse number 4. Some of this thought was developing. I have the two verses that I've read to you already, the verse there in John and the verse in Job, and I was sitting there getting ready for the weekend revival. It was the first night that I was there, had my Bible open to Psalm 143, thought I might preach from there, and I just looked down at my Bible, and I don't mean to make something spiritual when it's not. It might have been by chance, but if it was, I'm still thankful for it, amen? And I just looked at this part of Psalm 142. When you have it, amen. If you have it, if you're following along, go
to verse number 4. David is writing here. Let me read you the little heading above the psalm, Mashiel of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. This psalm, like a whole bunch of David's psalms, Brother Hubbard, came from a very hard time in his life. This was not written from an easy place. David has just lied to a priest, and then he lied to an enemy king. And I understand there might be some excuses there. Do you remember that story when the Canaanites capture David? He's running away from his enemy King Saul. And for whatever reason, he runs directly into the hands of his enemies, the Canaanites. And I don't know if he just wasn't thinking. Maybe he's just trying to get as far away from Saul as he can. And he finds himself in a city called Gath. Do you remember any Bible characters that were from a city called Gath? Goliath. Do you remember who killed Goliath? It's David. If there is one city of the Canaanites that I would have been sure not to wind up in, it would have been Gath. And here David is right there at the gates. I don't know. I want to make excuses for him. Maybe he didn't realize where he was, but people recognized him. That's David. That's the Israelite. That's the Jew that killed our great champion. And they go and they capture David. I will get to this verse here in a second, I promise, okay? And they capture David. They're going to bring him to a king in one place. He's called Abimelech. And most of the time, at least in that story, you're going to find him. His name is King Achish, I believe is his name. They're going to bring him to King Achish. And they're probably already thinking about the great reward that they're going to get because they're bringing David, this Israelite, this great warrior. And do you remember what David does? He feigned himself mad. He starts acting crazy, and he starts letting spit run out of the corners of his mouth. It starts running down his beard, and they get him close to a wall of the city, and he just runs his hand, scrabbled on the walls, I believe is what the Bible says that he did, and he acts absolutely insane. And you know what? His plan works. They get him to the king, and the king looks at David. I think this man who was once a great warrior has absolutely lost his mind. He's not a threat anymore. He says, get him out of my sight. I don't have any use for somebody like that. I mean, his plan works. He gets away. But you know, God doesn't deal in deceit. We can lie with our words. We can also lie with our actions. And I understand maybe David's thought process there, but I'm telling you right now, God can take care of you. You don't have to act like that. You don't have to lie. You don't have to be deceitful. If God wants you out of a situation, he can reach down as far down as it might be, and he can pull you right out. Somebody say amen. Right after that story, Pastor, he's going to find himself hiding in a cave called Adullam. Probably mentioned caves when I was here last time. Maybe some of you might remember that I worked in a cave for a period of time. That was a really neat job, Pastor. I loved being a tour guide at Marengo Cave there in southern Indiana, and I liked working there. But if somebody is living in a cave, here's what I can tell you. They don't have anywhere else to go. And David is living in this cave. That's when he writes this psalm. He says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man. You seeing the theme? I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And then he says, no man cared for my soul. Job says, I don't have a man that can do what needs to be done. David says, I don't have a man who can do what needs to be done. David says, in this place, there was no man that would know me. He says, I don't even have anybody that wants to be close to me anymore. I'm in such deep trouble that there's nobody that even wants to associate with me. All of my closest friends, they are nowhere to be found. It's easy to be somebody's friend as long as they're doing okay. you find out who your real friends are, I guess, when you're living in a cave. Nobody's there, at least at this point in time. Nobody's there with him. Nobody's there. There's some people that are going to come later, but the way he writes this, Brother Hubbard, it makes me think he's all by himself. There was no man that would know me. He says, nobody even wants to hear my problem. I know you felt like that, because we all have. Nobody even wants to know about my situation. No man would know me. And then the last phrase is even worse. No man cared for my soul. Even people that I don't know, that I've never met, I care about whether they go to heaven or hell. David doesn't feel that way. He says, I am in such a shape that there is nobody in my life who even cares if I wind up in hell. I'd like to reach back through the pages of time. Here I am getting ahead of myself and shake his shoulders and say, David, that's not true. I can't reach back and tell David, but maybe somebody here tonight feels that way. No man cared for my soul. I want you to know that that is not true. That's a lie, David. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And if the devil told it to David, I have a feeling he's told it to some other people. Amen. You don't have to wave your hand at me. You don't have to answer me with an amen here tonight. But if you feel that way, no man cared for my soul. Listen, this message ain't very encouraging right now. I promise it'll get better here in just a minute, okay? I promise it'll wind up better than it started. Amen. There is somebody who cares about your soul. And I mean more than just a young preacher with a red microphone tonight. Amen. Job, I have no man. David, I have no man. And then here back to the New Testament in the book of John, chapter number 5. Go there again. I should have told you just to keep it. I just read one verse to you, but I want to read this story to you. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. You know what that word means? Powerless, helpless, can't do anything for themselves. Lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. This is such an interesting story to me. Listen, God's allowed to do whatever God wants to do, however he wants to do it. He's God, isn't he? If he's the rule maker, he gets to make the rules. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And apparently, this is something that God approves of. It doesn't seem like it's any kind of evil thing or witchcraft or magic or anything like that. That stuff's real, by the way. Stay away from it. But it doesn't seem like any of that's going on here. But there's an angel that will come down at a certain season into the pool and trouble the water. And trouble the water, whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. That's why all of these sick people, all of these impotent folk, as the Bible says, blind and halt and withered, whatever other ailment they might have, that's why they're sitting around in these 5 porches. That's why they are waiting by the pool. They're not out tanning, okay? They're waiting to see when that water is troubled. And when that water is troubled, it's every man for himself. And whoever can get there first is the person that is going to get healed. I mean, this is a known fact. This is something that has happened apparently multiple times. It's happened enough that they know enough about it to have some confidence. And so people come here day after day after day. Maybe they lay here for days at a time, hoping, waiting, watching, seeing if that water will be troubled. I don't know how often it is, but it's not often enough for this man, is it? And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent, the helpless, the weak, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. My cousin Russell, a week or two ago, and I'm not trying to steal his message, okay? Jesus asked this man, Wilt thou be made whole? And Russell summarized his answer in this verse. Russell said, basically, he says, probably not. Well, are you going to be made whole today? And he said, and forgive me if I paraphrase, I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, you understand? He said, well, even when the water is troubled, I don't have anybody to help me. I'm in a little bit worse shape than some of these other people around here, and even the blind ones, at least they can walk better than I can. 38 years? I don't. Maybe he had been laying at this pool every day. I don't know, but maybe every day for 38 years. How many times was the water troubled in 38 years? It may have been once, 5 times, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, but it was never for him. He was never able to get there. Somebody always beat him down, but he just met the man who tells the angel when to trouble the water. Amen? Sir, I have no man. He says the same thing that David says, who says the same thing that Job says. And they are saying the same thing that you and I have said over and over and over again. I don't have anybody who can do what needs to be done. I have no man. I have no man that will know me. I have no man who cares for my soul. I have no man who can put a hand on God and a hand on me and bridge the eternal gap. He says, I have no man that will help me. I don't have anybody that will take me down to the pool. That's not what Jesus asked him. He asked him if he would be made whole. Look at what Jesus says. He does not have a pity party with this man. He does not talk about how sorry a shape that he is in. He makes no apologies. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. What's up? Next verse say, and eventually, y'all are good at correcting me and I like it. And after some period of time, and after he went to the doctor, hey, thank God for doctors and what they can do, but they can't do what he can do. Huh? And immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. He said, I have no man. But he couldn't say that anymore after this day. He met the man that he was looking for. How many times had he laid there and watched that water be troubled by that angel and think, oh, I wish that somebody would help me get down to the water. Hey, forget about the water. You don't need the water. You don't need the angel. You just need the man. And he met the man. Amen. He met the man that he was looking for. And he met the man that David was looking for. And he met the man that Job was looking for. Hey, all those twos, all those years ago, Brother Hubbard, they were looking for a man that would come and deliver them. They called him Messiah. They were looking for their Messiah. And here he is at the pool of Bethesda. Who say men that I am? Is that what he asked Peter? What do they say about me? Peter, what do you say about me? Thou art the Christ. Same word as Messiah, by the way. You know what it means? The anointed one. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Listen to me for a minute. I do not want to take away from the deity of Christ. He is the Son of God, but He is God the Son, and He is no less God than God the Father or God the Holy Ghost. In fact, you take one of them out of the equation, you no longer have the God of the Bible, one God in three distinct, separate persons. I want to say separate, but they are so tied together that it is hard to separate them at times. I understand that Jesus Christ is absolutely, beyond a shadow of doubt, 100% God. But I want you to know tonight that we can't deny His deity, nor can we deny His humanity. Amen. A little over 2,000 years ago, God, and this sounds strange, okay? God became a man. The Word became flesh. He was not always flesh. He became flesh. I know that God does not change. Nothing about His character, amen, the essence of Him and who He is, that does not change, has not changed, is not changing now, and it never will change. But Word became flesh, and God became a man, and a little baby was born to a woman in Bethlehem in a manger. But He was so much more than just another little baby. He was God Himself. He took upon Him the robe of a servant. He put on this corruption that you and I wear. And I don't mean He was corrupted. You understand what? This body that breaks down and hurts, amen, and can be wounded. He put that on, and He dwelt among men as a man. He became man. Did you know that He is still a man even right now? I understand He's ascended, amen, to His Father. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is in heaven right now as we speak. I do understand that, but He is still a man. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is still the man, Christ Jesus, but He's no less God than He ever has been. My God of heaven, aren't you thankful that you know the man tonight? The man that the pool of Bethesda needed, and the man that David needed, and the man that Job needed. He's the same man that you and I need, and we have Him. I wish, again, I could reach back and grab Job by the shoulders. When he's standing there, I don't have somebody to bridge the gap. I don't have a mediator, one mediator, amen, between God and man. And I want to say, Job, He's coming. Job, He's coming. Mediator, that's a word, amen. You could replace that word daysman that Job used. I told you the word umpire is also one that fits in there. Listen, I don't watch a lot of baseball. I used to play Little League till I got hit in the eye with a pop fly, and I got scared. I never played again, all right? That's how much I know about baseball. Here's what I know about baseball. You know what the umpire does? The umpire calls the shots, and he makes the calls. And I want you to understand tonight, amen, that you know the man who calls the shots and makes the calls. Aren't you glad that we have found the one that Job was looking for? Aren't you glad we found the one that David needed in Psalm 142? He says, I have no man that will know me. If anybody has ever known you, it's Him. We do have a high priest, and He can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. David, if anybody knows what it's like to be all alone, to have everybody you know turn their back on you, it is the man Christ Jesus. It happened to him, didn't it? On that fateful night when they came to take him for judgment, everybody that he knew, I know we want to rag on Judas, don't we? But everybody that night turned their backs on him and ran away. And there he was all alone. David, you're not the only one who feels all alone. Church member tonight right here in Foyle, America, as your pastor says, you are not the only one who knows what it's like to feel all alone. And I'm not talking about me, and I'm not talking about your pastor. I'm not talking about a deacon or a song leader. I'm talking about the man, Christ Jesus. He can relate to you in ways that you don't think anybody else can relate to you. Hey, he went through everything that any other person has to go through. He was hated, amen, and despised. The Bible says he was rejected of men. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what Isaiah says about him? If we could see him, we would assume that God has nothing to do with him. There is no beauty that we should behold him. We're not even going to like the way that he looks. Thank God for the man, Christ Jesus. David, there is a man who does want to know you. He's got some people that gather with him later on, Brother Hubbard, some of his house that gather in that cave with him, but he's got somebody a whole lot better than any of them. I want you to understand here tonight, I'm thankful for each and every one of you here in this place and all of my brothers and all of my sisters scattered abroad from here to there to yonder. And I want you to know that I need you. We were created for fellowship with God. We were also created for fellowship with one another. Amen. The Bible says it is not good that man should be alone. Adam had a relationship with God, didn't he? And I know, I understand the direct answer to that prayer is his wife, Eve. I understand that, okay? But God didn't just give him Eve. He gave him sons and children and grandchildren and so on and so forth. And by the time Adam left this earth, he knew thousands and thousands of people that he had surrounding them. There's a couple songs, one of them, listen, I don't like so much, so don't get too excited, okay? It sounds like a pity party. It says, as long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. And you go through the verses of that song. Y'all still with me here tonight? It got awful quiet. Praise the Lord. You go through the verses. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. Okay, yeah, we get it. All right? I wish it wasn't so catchy and fun to sing. All right? But there's another song, Brother Hubbard. Says, if Jesus is all that I have, he's all that I need. Now, I do like that one. Listen, as long as I have you, I need you, and I want you with me. But if everybody in here turns their backs on me and never speaks to me again, I've got somebody who will never do that. David, there is a man who wants to know you. Amen. There's no man, I have no man, who cares for my soul. Oh, David, if anybody has ever cared for your soul, you know who it is? It is the man, Christ Jesus. David did not understand how much this man, he didn't even understand that God would become a man. I mean, nobody guessed that. I don't know that anybody really knew that's what was going to happen. Of course, we can see through the lens of the New Testament. We can look at the Old Testament and it makes sense now. But I don't know that anybody would have guessed that was going to happen. I don't think I would have. Why would he do that? How is that going to happen? I still can't explain it to you, but thank God that it happened. Amen. Aren't you thankful you know the man tonight? He's also God, but you know the man here tonight. He cared so much for David's soul, my soul, and your soul. Listen, he really was born, and he really did live. You know what else he did? He really did die, and he died for me, and he died for you. Listen, if you're here tonight and you feel like that, I feel pulled to that again. If you feel like nobody cares for my soul, nobody cares if I go to heaven or hell, I want you to know that I care. Okay? I care. Pastor, do you care? What if you've never met them before? What if they're new here? You care about, I care about you too. I care whether or not you go to heaven or hell. I promise you. But listen, even if all of us are lying and there's not a single person in this place that you can see that cares about your, the man Christ Jesus cares about your soul. Ain't for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Did you know that it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, cares about your soul. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? And this impotent man who has nobody to help him. I have no man. Well, now, Jesus doesn't do exactly what he's asking, but it's accomplished. Listen, God does not always do the things that we ask in the way that we think he is going to do them. But this man walks away absolutely whole. I have no man. Yes, you do. There's nobody here. Yes, there is. Nobody cares. I know somebody. Why don't y'all stand with me here tonight? I don't mean to drag this out. We're fixing to come to the altar. You ready for the altar? I have no man. I have no man. I have no man. And here he shows up right in the first few pages of the New Testament. This is the man that everybody has been looking for. Everything that everybody needs, he can do it. Our song leader, I believe. Who sang that song the other night? I don't see her right now. I know a man who can. Somebody sang that song last night. If you're here, sis, Raven, wave your hand. Yeah. She's not here. Okay, that makes me feel better that I didn't see her. That makes sense. Our song leader, Brother Hubbard, we lost her last year. Of course, I told you last night, I guess, but Sister Anita Etheridge, she would get up, and I think 75% of the time when she led songs, that was one of the songs that we were going to hear. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again, but I know a man who can. Amen. I can't take a soul that sin's stained, make it white as the snow, but I know a man who can. Hey, do you know him here tonight? Maybe this is your first time being introduced to him, your first time hearing his name. Probably not, but maybe. There are people like that still in the world. Maybe you've heard about him, but you've never met him yourself. Maybe you've been saying something similar to Job and David, and we don't know this man's name. We just know he's helpless. He's impotent. He's powerless. He can't do the things that need to be done. Anybody feel like that? You don't have to wave your hand, okay? Anybody feel like that tonight? You feel weak and you feel helpless and you feel like you need some things done, but you're not able to do them. I want you to know that I know a man who can. Can somebody witness with me here tonight? Hey, we already got somebody responding to the altar. I ain't even made the altar call yet. You ready? Anybody else need to come? You feel like you can't do it? I know somebody who can. You feel like you don't have anybody? You absolutely do. And he's here for you. Some have come. Anybody else want to come? Any of my brothers, sisters? Maybe you've been driving home from work going, I just don't have anybody. Nobody cares. Nobody sees me. Nobody knows. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And you can know him here tonight. How about it? Anybody else tonight want to come before we all do? Going once, going twice. There's another one. Altar calls are so easy here. I love this. Anybody else want to come? Feel like coming? Have you felt helpless? Have you felt weak? Have you felt impotent? I'll tell you what. Why don't we all come? Everybody come tonight. Everybody that would. Even if you don't want to come to the altar, if you want to kneel at your seat, pray in your pew, that's all right. Whatever you feel comfortable doing. You do have a man. The man Christ Jesus. Y'all just keep praying. Y'all just keep praying. There's one more story. John chapter number 4. We don't even know her name. We just know there's a woman. had a well. And she's embarrassed about some parts of her life. She's done some wrong and she's been done wrong. She doesn't like to hear the things that people have to say. And so she goes to get her water at a time of day when nobody else is going to be there. You remember that story of the woman at the well? And she goes, and lo and behold, somebody's at the well. That's what she doesn't want. All right? The last thing she thinks she needs is another man. She's probably had enough of them. She's probably sick of them. And here's a man at the well. And she shows up, and immediately she despises that man, Brother Jared. Doesn't want anything to do with him. But you remember how that story ends? She goes running through that town, screaming at the top of her lungs, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. It's not this the Christ." Hey, y'all beat me to the altar call, but that's altar call here tonight. Come see a man. Amen. Praise the Lord.